This morning's lesson comes from Galatians chapter 1, verses 11 through 24. Hear God's word from Galatians. If my goal was popularity, these words are from Paul. If my goal was popularity, I wouldn't bother being Christ's slave. Know this, I'm most emphatic here, friends. This great message I delivered to you is not mere human optimism. I didn't receive it through the traditions, and I wasn't taught it in some school. I got it straight from God. Received the message directly from Jesus Christ. I'm sure that you've heard the story of my earlier life, when I lived in the Jewish way. In those days, I went all out in persecuting God's church. I was systematically destroying it. I was so enthusiastic about the traditions of my ancestors that I advanced head and shoulders above my peers in my career. And even then, God had designs on me. Why, when I was still in my mother's womb, He chose and called me out of sheer generosity. And now He's intervened and revealed His Son to me so that I might joyfully tell non-Jews about Him. Immediately after my calling, without consulting anyone around me and without going up to Jerusalem to confer with those who were apostles long before I was, I got away to Arabia. Later, I returned to Damascus, but it was 3 years before I went up to Jerusalem to compare stories with Peter. I was there only 15 days, but what days they were! Except for the Master's brother James, I saw no other apostles. I'm telling you the absolute truth in this. And then I began my ministries in the regions of Syria and Cilicia. After all that time and activity, I was still unknown by face among the Christian churches in Judea. There was only this report. That man who once persecuted us is now preaching the very message he used to try to destroy. And their response was to recognize and worship God because of me. May God give us understanding of this holy word. And let's take just a moment of silent prayer. Amen. In case you haven't noticed or heard, our God is the God of the impossible. This morning, I came across a story that touched me deeply. It was in the Parade magazine. Some of you may get it with your papers, those of you who are still getting newspapers. It's called American Stories and Local Heroes, and this particular one was by Scott Westcott. And it was about a family who had been through a great deal. The father and mother in their 30s, two teenage children. The father and the mother, well, the father tells his story about how he'd been raised pretty much by a grandfather who'd had a huge impact on his life. And when that grandfather died, it threw him into a tailspin. And so he started, as we hear the story often, he started self-medicating to ease the pain. And started with alcohol, then move on to drugs. And he had a business at that time, working in construction and other things, and the business started to fail, and he was having difficulty supporting his family, so he decided to try to grow some marijuana in the basement, which didn't work out too well for him and his wife. They soon found themselves arrested and in jail. And then their kids, in the meanwhile, a son and a daughter, ended up moving from family member to family member, not doing too well, as you can imagine. And while in high school, the daughter got pregnant, had a small child. So one thing led to another thing, getting more and more difficult. And then something strange happened. The father and mother were finally released from jail. The son, 16 then, the daughter, 18. They were brought back together, but things were still hard. The son kept getting into fights, and this one particular day, they were all coming from court where he'd been. He was lucky in just getting 16 hours of community service. But they were in a rush because they had to pick up the mother from work. And as they were driving along, they heard a crash, and there was a car and a truck that collided into a horrible mess. Fortunately, the man made it out of the car, although it was completely crushed. The truck was also in horrible shape, had flipped over two or three times, landing in a cornfield. And the driver of that was a big, burly man of about 230 pounds, but the doors were jammed, so he could not get out of the truck. What to do? So the dad and his daughter and his son, even though he told them to stay behind, they rushed to the truck because they can see flames starting to come up underneath the truck. And the father, who had been an amateur wrestler, he went to the passenger side door and he pulled with all of his might and finally was able to get it partway open. And the kids squeaked through, and with all of their strength, they pulled the man out of the truck. Amazingly, this man, he could hardly walk himself, so he had two of these kids who their weight together did not equal his weight. And with one of them on each side, they got him to safety with the father coming behind, and they could feel the flames as they just totally engulfed that truck. They got him out in just the nick of time. An unbelievable thing. Not something you want to happen. But you hear me often say how even in the worst of situations, God does amazing things. And he did something amazing in this too. He not only used this family to save a life, but it saved their lives as well. And the father, Brad, shares how later that night, the crash got him thinking about his life and about death and fate. And he said, when I came home from prison, I didn't know how to make things right, he said. I just kept praying, just give me a chance to show people I've changed, that I'm a good person. And as he was replaying the rescue in his mind that night, he wondered, could this in some weird way be the answer to my prayer? Could this in some weird way be my chance? Funny thing happened in that little town. The little town where that family had experienced so much change and where the fingers were pointing at him as the drug dealer were now pointing their fingers at him and his children as heroes. They developed a close friendship with that family. The man they saved owned a little diner, and so the mom got a job there working as a waitress. Their daughter ended up being remotivated and started doing really well with school and even ended up graduating with honors. And the man they saved threw her a party to celebrate. And the son, too, his life started changing. The whole family started changing in amazing ways, seeing themselves in amazing ways, and seeing the hope that God gave them. And every day, Brad continued to struggle to stay sober. But even though it was still difficult, he would say, today, I'm going to make some good things happen. And he said, people seem to respect me. And the son, too, felt respected. And so his grades changed. Everything about it changed in their lives. And the dad also started to realize a lifetime dream with his amateur boxing. He was able to start a group, an after-school program that allowed the kids to learn how to box. And he said when he was with them, he was no longer an ex-con. He was coach. he could see himself in a new, beautiful way. He said, "It's really strange how my life has changed. And as for the one who was in that fiery crash, he said, it may sound strange to say that I'm glad to be part of this, but that's how I feel. Go through the story and you can only conclude that what happened that day was meant to change lives for the better." And the father, he's now a firm believer that prayers can be answered in unexpected ways. Turns out, he said, we weren't late the day of the crash. We were on God's time. We were exactly where we were supposed to be when we were supposed to be there. Our God does amazing things, unexpected things. And he can change people in amazing ways. People that we might think would be beyond his reach. But here's a funny thing. In some ways, it's easier for us to believe in this kind of change than it is to believe in change in those who believe, in people of faith. We feel good about these stories, but it can be harder for us to look at ourselves. Paul was also a man who did an amazing turnaround. But in his case, he was this model man of faith who is trying to squelch all those upstarts, all those people who are living outside the faith. It's interesting to note, I love this passage that Eugene Peterson, who wrote the message, who wrote this version of the Bible, in his introduction to Galatians, he writes, "When men and women get their hands on religion, one of the first things they often do is turn it into an instrument for confronting others, either putting them or keeping them in their place. The history of such religious manipulation and coercion is long and tedious. And it's little wonder that people who have only known religion on such terms experience release or escape from it as freedom. The problem is that the freedom turns out to be short-lived." So what happens is that God gives us a faith, and a lot of times, as it was for this family, it can be a source of transformation, a source of freedom, until someone of supposedly strong faith steps in and distorts it. And that's something that you and I always have to be mindful in our own faith journey. We always have to be mindful of what our motives are. I think many of us have been on the rough end of situations or relationships with people who are godly and who are judgmental and who easily look at our lives with criticism but can't see their own lives and their own failings. This was something that Paul had to go through. He went from being up at the top. He was a great scholar. He was very knowledgeable. He was very smart. And he had to be brought to his knees, literally, to be able to see and understand a greater truth. This week, I had a wonderful conversation with one of the young people who've grown up in our church. She had some great questions about her own spiritual journey. And part of what made me really excited was that she's seeking truth. Now, we as parents may feel uncomfortable with this from time to time. And we may not always know where our kids are going and what they're thinking or doing. But seeking truth is the most critical thing. And so for a young person to not just be spouting off what they've heard, what they've been taught as rote and not understanding it, but now trying to live into a faith and find it for them, for themselves, is exciting. And it's what each of us are called to do. To listen, to hear, to be clean in our motives, and to trust that if we're seeking that truth and we're loving God and loving neighbor, that He'll put us where we need to be, doing what we need to be doing. Each one of us hits a different place in the spectrum. Some of us are stubborn, hard-headed, and making bad decisions and having to pay the price. Others have maybe had it a little easier and found it easier to follow a better path. But every single one of us need to be open to being radically changed, to being the people that God truly wants us to be. And none of us can be in that place of assuming that we know it all, that we've got everything nailed down, and that includes me. Even as a pastor, every day I'm asking God to show me His truth, to teach me what He has for me, to open my heart and my mind to what He is doing in this world, in this place, at this time. To open my heart to Him and to all of His children, and to welcome what He has for each of us. Dear friends, our God is the God of the impossible. Expect change, look for it, and trust that He'll put us where we need to be. Let us pray. Almighty God, we're all in different places on the path. Help us to live without judgment of others, but always seeking Your will, Your direction, Your freedom. In the name of Your Son we pray. Amen.